Welcome once again to the Living Water Church. And, you know, today we're starting a new series of messages about being grateful, a gratitude challenge. But before we jump into that topic, I want to just share a few thoughts from the Great Lakes Global Methodist Convening Conference that was just last week. And what a blessing it was for Cheryl and I to be able to be there and to represent you in Washington, Illinois at this beginning of this new denomination. And what an amazing, powerful experience. I mean, the prayers spoken were spirit-filled, and they were powerfully moving. The worship was passionate, and it was too spirit-filled, and it was very God-focused. The speakers, they all spoke with zeal for God and a zeal for the Methodist movement and a zeal for God's word. My heart was blessed and it was challenged. It was renewed and it was filled with an old-fashioned Holy Ghost fire. And then came my ordination. And as I just take a moment and look back on my journey so far in ministry, you know, that you might say I have a thick head a little bit as you think about my journey. But God first opened the door for me to serve him in ministry in 1990 when I was going to college in California. But, you know, at the time I thought it was just an extra income, just opening for that time, and it probably wouldn't be a life journey. My plan was to do music and be a band director and all those kind of things, and so I didn't have that in my view at that time. And then it wasn't really until the summer of 2010, so 20 years later, after I had been in ministry to several churches as an associate pastor, that God actually told me, when I was least expecting it and least wanting to hear about this, that I had a call to be a preacher. And I struggled with this call for a couple of years, and then I began a training that would lead to ordination. And so I had to take 24 classes through the Nazarene Bible College because I was part of the Nazarene Church back then. And all I needed was about a year and a half more of experience as a senior pastor and I could be ordained. But that wasn't what God had planned. And that door was closed and God opened the door for me to become a part of the United Methodist Church. And they had a different path to being ordained. And so after a couple years of complaining about the fact that it had a different path to being ordained, I started that process of getting my Master of Divinity at United Theological Seminary. And so, as most of you know, I graduated from that this past December. But I had this concern all this time I was going through this program at United, that the United Methodist Church would struggle with me as a conservative, traditional, John Wesley theologian that was spirit-filled and focused on sanctification. Because if you didn't know this, you know, they tended to not want to ordain those type of pastors. They preferred to kind of keep it at the local pastor level where you couldn't vote on things that affected clergy. But God had this plan that I had no idea about, and it was called the Global Methodist Church. And though it took me 20 years for me to figure out that God had called me to be a pastor, and then it took another 12 years of going through two programs to get me qualified, his timing was perfect for me to be ordained at the convening conference of the Global Methodist Church. And so Patty had asked me before Sharon and I left to go to the conference if if I thought I would feel any different after I was ordained. And I really didn't think I would feel any different. I believe in ordination is important. It's the church saying that it agrees with your calling and it setting you apart for ministry, for preaching God's word and ministering the sacraments of communion and baptism and kind of guiding the life of a local church congregation. I believe in the importance of hands being laid on a person who is being ordained. The importance that those hands that are being laid on you are spirit-filled hands. And I knew that the whole experience was important, but I also thought of it kind of as a box that needed to be checked off, a next step experience. I just didn't feel any different. But I did feel different. If you took the time to watch 3.5-hour ordination service, you ought to get a medal if you did that. Because I know there was at least a couple who did watch that whole thing to finally see me as one of those 80 that got ordained. I just have to thank you, Jesus, that I wasn't in Columbus at the time where they had almost 150 of people doing this. But then after the prayers, after they laid hands on you, because what they did was they prayed for you, they ordained you as a deacon first, and then they ordained you as an elder right after that. And so after he said the words they had to say to every person about being ordained as a deacon and then an elder, then you would stand up and he put this stole on you. And it's a red thing that goes if you have that robe on. It's all official looking. And when he did that, and you know, you're surrounded by people, so you don't know that he's done this to these other people. He pulled me in close, and right eyes looking in my eyes, he said something along the lines of, take the mantle of this calling seriously as you live out your calling as a pastor. And it was then, when he said that, that I got zapped by the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't a vibration. I have felt the Holy Spirit come into me as a vibration. I've felt the Holy Spirit go out of me into someone else as a vibration, kind of like goosebumps, but more a little bit different, like kind of vibration in your skin. This was more like a heaviness of the Holy Spirit. It was like an amplification of the Holy Spirit's presence in me. It was like the Holy Spirit kind of filled me up inside with air. And that was the Holy Spirit that was moving my hands and my feet and influencing my thoughts to a much greater degree. It was just a different feel that I was not expecting to feel. And I still feel that vibration of the Holy Spirit interacting with me in a different way. Patty was right. I do feel different, and I hope I never get so used to it that I no longer sense it. But for those who didn't take the time to watch that long service, I just have a couple of pictures I want to show you so you can get a sense of it. This is a picture of Matt Hook there, who's looking right at us, and he was one of my mentors. He pastors a church in Dexter, and he was the one that led the worship for the conference. And so he was one of the ones laying their hands, and my dad was the other one. And the next picture is picture of all 80 of us standing up there that, you know, we all kind of got in line and walked the line. And then for those of you who didn't get to be there, just a short clip that Dick did for me, just of watching me walk across. Let's just watch this real short little clip.
Father Almighty, pour out your Holy Spirit on Todd Wesley Jones for the office and work of a deacon in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Todd, take authority as a deacon to proclaim the word of God and to lead God's people in ministries of compassion and justice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Almighty, pour out your Holy Spirit on Todd Wesley Jones for the office and work of an elder in Christ's Holy Church. Amen. Todd, take authority as an elder to preach the word of God, to administer the holy sacraments, and to order the life of the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Right there, hold me in the fourth. And you didn't hear him say it to anybody, so you didn't know that he's talking to you. That was a surprise. Thanks. And what a blessing to be a part of that and to see all those people up there. Some of those that were ordained were local pastors that had preached for 40, 50 years and never been ordained, and they were in their 80s and older, being ordained in the GMC in their retirement. It was really neat to be a part of it. But I say all that to say that I hope that each person in this room gets to experience a conference of the Global Methodist Church. It's nothing like you've ever experienced before. It's just completely different. It's a little bit like camp meeting for those who have been to Simpson Park Camp, but it just kind of amped up quite a bit from that. It's like an old-fashioned revival meeting. It's a fired-up, Holy Spirit-filled service that's enthusiastic and Bible-centric and hope-infused. It's just a worship experience. You know, the first annual Great Lakes Conference will be this June coming up, June 5th through 7th. It's a Wednesday through Friday. They're going to have it this time in Indiana, Wesleyan University in Marion, Indiana. So this time it's 4 hours instead of 6.5 hours. And I know some of you just can't do that, but it would be great to see a group of us go there and be changed. You will be changed by being in that atmosphere. And so I hope you'll put it on that on your calendar. I hope you'll put it on your prayer list. If you know you're not able to come, but you could pray for it. God is doing something new, and I want all of us to be a part of it. And if you're really adventurous, I mean really adventurous, the convening conference, the first worldwide Global Methodist Convening Conference for our denomination will be coming up in September, 20th through 26th, and it's going to be in San Jose, Costa Rica. That's why you got to be really adventurous. You got to leave the country. This is going to be a global church, not a United States dictated church to the rest of the world. And so I have this hope that maybe Cheryl and I might be able to go. It's kind of expensive, so I have no idea how we'd be able to do it. But I just have this hope, and maybe a few of you might like to come along too and be a part of something very historic. But okay, enough of the GMC. Cheryl's going to be sharing some of her thoughts about being your lay representative to it at our town hall meeting next Sunday after church. But back to our gratitude challenge and our new series and thinking about being grateful. Have you ever taken a gratitude challenge? It's kind of a thing that you see, and I don't see it quite as much this year as I have in years past, but it's the Facebook is where you usually see it, where somebody puts something on Facebook every day in November of something they're thankful for. So there's 30 days in November, so that's 30 things you got to think of that it's worthy of a Facebook post that you're thankful for. Do you think you could do it? That's why I kind of put on the front of your message notes a place for you could fill in 30 things. And some of you might be able to do that right now. Put 30 things in. Some, it might take a week and before you get your list. But 30 things that you would put on there. What would you include? Well, you got the easy ones, right? You got God and then family and our health, our job or our lack of job if you're retired, friends and our church family, maybe the fact that we haven't had any measurable snow yet that stuck around for more than one day. I had to revise my sermon when I originally wrote it. It was no snow at all, but then we had the surprise, so I had to change that one a little bit. Maybe you might put down that the fact that the Lions has won more games than they've lost. But once you get past that point, you kind of, you know, it gets a little bit harder. What else would you put on your list? Well, have you ever thought to thank God for the gift of waking up? The gift of a new day? The gift of the air that we breathe? Over thousands of years, the Israelites around the world have developed specific blessings that function as explanations of gratitude. And over time, that these blessings have grown to kind of encompass nearly everything in their life. For example, when they would see the ocean, they would say, "Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who made the great sea." And they would have all these different things. They'd say these blessings when they saw that. Well, one blessing that Jews all over the world say every day when they wake up is called the Moda Ani. And it's this: "I thank you, living and eternal King, for returning my soul within me in compassion. Great is your faithfulness." This is one of the first blessings that a Jewish child is taught when they're young. It expresses gratitude to God for the gift of new day of life. Now, the explanation they give of this blessing is that when we wake up in the morning, God graciously restores our soul within us in order to experience another day of life. And this waking up, it's an analogy of the resurrection from the dead. Just as God revives us from the depths of our sleep and enables our eyes to once again see light, so will He one day ultimately revive the dead from their state and bring them into the glorious presence of His light in eternity. What a powerful picture. What a powerful blessing as we think about that day, that as we trust God as He wakes us up here, that the one day when we don't wake up again, that we will open our eyes and see His light in eternity. And what a great way to start each day, just thanking God for a new day, for giving you another day that you can serve Him, of giving you another day that you have these opportunities here on in this world. And so Genesis, our first book in the Bible, chapters 1 and 2, it describes God's act of creating everything. And we heard that in the children's message. And then when we get to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we get some details that are given to us about how we came to life, how humans first came, where it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground, and He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." God's act of creation was an intimate one. You know, it's just this great picture of God, that He's not this God that's far off, that started these motions of laws into motion that allowed humans to at some point come about, but God was actively involved in it. God personally and intentionally, He formed us out of dirt, and He personally breathed the gift of life into Adam's nose. And only then did Adam become a living person. All right? And did you know that the very act of breathing is connected to God's name? God's name in the Old Testament is known as Yahweh. And breathing is connected to His name. The name Yahweh occurs more than 6,800 times in the Old Testament. It appears in every book but Esther, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Songs. As the sacred personal name of Israel's God, it was eventually only spoken aloud by priests who were worshiping in the Jerusalem temple. After the destruction of the temple in AD 70, the name was not pronounced anymore in the Jewish faith. So Adonai was substituted for Yahweh whenever it appeared in the biblical text. And because of this, the pronunciation of Yahweh was eventually lost, because in the Hebrew, they don't include the vowels, they just include the letters. And so we don't really know for sure how Yahweh is pronounced. English editions of the Bible usually translate Adonai, one of the substitutions for Yahweh, as Lord, where L is capital but ORD is in lowercase. And then when you see Yahweh translated in the Old Testament, you see it as Lord with capital LORD. That's Yahweh. Yahweh is the name that is most closely linked to God's redeeming act in the history of His chosen people. And we first see the name Yahweh mentioned in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. This is a story of Moses and the burning bush, and Moses being told he's supposed to go back to Egypt. And Moses really, 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 really didn't want to go back to Egypt. And his job was to lead God's people to the promised land. And you know, Moses, he grew up in Pharaoh's court. He knew how important the Jewish people were to the Egyptians. They were their slave labor. He knew the impossibility of such a task, and he also knew he was wanted for murder, and so he really didn't want to go back to Egypt. And then he just had this concern that he'd go back there and he'd be made a fool of himself, because they wouldn't believe that he actually had this mission from God. And so he asked God, you know, how in the world am I going to convince these people that it's really You that's asking me to go? And so Exodus 3, 13 through 15, it says this, "But Moses protested." He did a lot of that in that story. "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' They will ask me, well, what is his name? Then what should I tell them? God replied to Moses, I am who I am. And I can think Moses thinking, oh, that's not really a name. But, you know, God saying, I am everything. I am who I am. Say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And then just to help Moses out a little bit, God also said to Moses, say to this people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to remember for all generations. And so in Jewish tradition, that name Yahweh is too sacred a name to be uttered out loud. And so over time, Jews started to substitute the name Adonai, or my Lord, whenever speaking God's name. Another common replacement was the name Elohim, which simply means God. But what's interesting about these replacement names is they all have different meanings to that word, not just God, where Yahweh is reserved exclusively as a name for God. So Jewish rabbis teach that these letters, YHWH, they represent breathing sounds. So when you pronounce YHWH without adding any vowels to it, it sounds like you're breathing. YH would be as you inhale, and WH as you exhale. So when you do this, you're saying God's name. So let's consider that for a minute. A baby's first cry would be speaking the name of God. If you sigh deeply, you're calling out God's name. A groan or gasp is calling his name. A person leaves this earth with their last breath when God's name is no longer filling their lungs. Trying to see if those slides catch up or if they're just stuck. So you're about two more slides. Okay, one more slide. There we go. And filling our lungs. And so when we can't utter anything else, our cry is calling out his name. Now that means when we still have breath, we speak his name constantly. YHWH is heard even when we're quiet. There it is. In sadness, we breathe heavy sighs to the Lord. And then in joy, we express gratefulness to the Lord. In fear, we hold our breath and have to be told to breathe slowly God's name, YHWH, to help us calm down. When a woman is laboring to bring a new life into the world, she's told to concentrate on one activity, audibly deep breathing. When we're about to do something hard, we take a deep breath to find our courage. So this means just breathing is giving God praise, even in the hardest moments of our life. God chose to give himself a name that we can't help but speak every moment we're alive. Whether we're awake or asleep, just breathing, the name of God is on our lips. When God breathed into Adam's body the breath of life, this was not just a one-time act of giving life to a human. The breath of life in which we breathe in and out of our lungs happens every single day, every night. It's a part of our connection to God. Job refers to his state of being this way: as long as my breath is in me and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. Our breath being the Spirit of God. Job 27 verse 3. Our contemporary language, you might say, as long as I'm still breathing, we're still able to praise God. Job's point isn't simply about his life, but rather that when he breathes, it isn't simply air, but that God's breath of life is going through him. When speaking about the nature and power of God to the Athenians, Paul said, "He himself gives all mankind life and breath and everything." In Acts 17, verse 25, it's the same point that Job was making. The very air we breathe to stay alive, it's this gift from God. So practically what this means is that every moment of every day, every breath we have is an opportunity to be grateful for the gift of life. The Eastern Orthodox Church has a prayer that's called the Jesus Prayer. And the Jesus Prayer is a type of breath prayer. It's strategic breathing as words are said. And so the first part of the prayer goes like this: "The Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God." And the person praying those words is breathing in as they say, "The Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God." And then you pause in your breathing, and then you slowly breathe out saying, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." The end of the prayer, the person praying has released all the air then from their lungs. And when they go to pray or they breathe again, they're reminded that even in this act of breathing, they are dependent upon the mercy of God. So I want us to try this for a moment. Okay, so as you breathe in, you say these words out loud, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God," and then we'll all hold our breath. And then we'll release our air as we say, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Okay, so let's try that. Ready? We're going to say, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God." We'll all breathe together. Ready? Let's do that. "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God." Hold your breath. And then let it out. "Have mercy on me, a sinner." Might be a little tricky. Let's try it one more time. Take a deep breath. "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God." Hold your breath and let it out. "Have mercy on me, a sinner." It's a breath prayer. Some people call it a mantra. It's a short prayer you can say over and over throughout the day. And there's many examples of these kind of prayers, these breath prayers that you can kind of memorize, you can adopt, it can help you connect with God. And so one is, "Through God's strength, I can do hard things." What a powerful prayer when you know God is taking you into a season where you're being challenged and you're not sure you can do it. And so you just breathe it in, "Through God's strength, I can do hard things. Through God's strength, I can do hard things." Or, "Jesus, give me peace." It's a great prayer when you're going through a time where you just are feeling the anxiety and you can feel it, your chest tight, and you've got to do something or you've got to go through something. You just know you're just anxious about it, and you pull things together by just breathing, "Jesus, give me peace. Jesus, give me peace." You can say it over and over as you give that thing to God. Another one, "Heavenly Father, give me wisdom and guidance." It's a breath prayer. Or, "Prince of Peace, let your presence fill my presence." Another one, "May I seek more of you and less of me." That's a powerful prayer. "May I seek more of you, less of me." Another one, especially when you've had a dream that you've had die and you're struggling through all of that, and to pray, "Father, may your dreams be my dreams. Father, may your dreams be my dreams." A couple of breath prayer examples that are based on some scriptures are, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Again, as you're going through something, you're just reminding yourself that it's God you're relying on this. You're not to do it in your own strength. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Or, "I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding." Telling yourself, reminding yourself, praying it to God. "I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. I will not lean on my own understanding." Just something to say over and over as you're training your mind, you're training your spirit. A long one, if you're good at long breaths. "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. A longer breath prayer, breathing it out, teaching yourself, reminding yourself, connecting to God. How would your day change if you made it a habit to thank God the moment you woke up for giving you this new day, for giving you the breath of life to breathe that day? You know, maybe you might be a little less inclined to complain about the cold floor as your feet hit it, or complain about that burnt toast or your dog sitting in your favorite chair again. You know, maybe you might show more grace to your spouse or your kids as you start the day. Maybe, I know this will be a stretch, but maybe you might even smile at the person who just waved to you on the highway with his middle finger as they sped past you in their car, praying for them, asking God to soften their hearts and bless their day. Could you imagine a day like that? How would your day be different if you memorized a couple of these breath prayers and just purposely prayed them throughout the day? See, I believe your day would be a whole lot more connected to God. While you're driving around town, or you're cleaning your house, or you're raking the leaves, while you're at work, or you're out about getting groceries, if you were to pray a breath prayer while going about your day, you might even spot God at work around you and be led to join him in that grand adventure. Breath prayers might just completely revitalize your relationship with God as you remind yourself that life is not all about me, but it's about serving him. This is the power of thankfulness, even in something as simple as the air we breathe. We can rejoice and be glad when God has given us a new day to live, whether the things are going on in your life are just really great, or whether it's just a challenging time that you've been going through. God has given each one of us the breath of life that keeps us alive, and in that and of itself is something that we can say, thank you, God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is so easy in life to slip into a negative spirit. To see the negative side of things, to see the challenges and not the possibilities, to see the hardship and forget about the blessings, to see the long, long list in front of us and forget about the blessings to be able to do that long list. God, would you help us to develop an attitude of gratitude? To develop this gratefulness even in the air we breathe, something so simple we just kind of take it for granted. May even the moment we wake up become a time of blessing, a time of connection with you. May our first thoughts be on you, and rather than on our day, on ourself, on our challenges, on our list. May we learn to get into a rhythm of just praying throughout the day, short little prayers that connect us to you, that bless you, that encourage us to reach into your power, into your resources, that help us remind us that this is not a life we live on our own. We live it through you, empowered by you, walking in step with you, even in the regular rhythm of life. May gratitude become a part of all that we do. The worship team's going to come up as I continue praying. But Father, even in the air we breathe, what a gift we have that life is. The time you've given us to walk this earth, may we be reminded that even in our breathing in and breathing out, that we're saying your name, that we're focusing in on you, that you are even the air that we breathe. Pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.